Put up at 2 a.m. in the morning. And then the Lord's face is so close to her. It's just right in front of her. And then she said that no way I can continue sleeping. I have to wake up. So she sat up on her bed. And she saw the Lord wearing a hat, carrying a staff. And so the Lord is coming to him as a good shepherd, full of love. And then he's wearing a robe that's a coffee color. And so she asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to pray for?" That you need to pray for the capacity to receive your love. To enlarge the capacity to receive my love, pray for that. So God wants to give us boundless love, but we need to have the space to receive it. So today, this morning she called me, whether it's really for the summer conference or is really or related to today's message. So when she heard it, she knelt down and prayed to the Lord, prayed for everyone in her small house group, prayed for every co-worker for the summer conference. After I hung up the phone, I was very clear. I know that the Lord, the topic of this summer conference is this boundless and limitless love of God. And God is going to pour down the love. It's greater than the ocean, greater than the ocean. But we need to have the capacity to hold it up. Do not be like a little child, only have a little bottle, and he said, "Oh, just a little few drops, and it's already enough." And God doesn't want us to be dry inside. He wants us to enlarge our capacity to contain this love. And we need to pray for this. Lord, I thirst for your love. I need your love in this time. I need to know your love. I'm so poor. I need your love to fill me up. We need to pray for ourselves and pray for everyone coming to the conference. And I also, God wants to revive us. We have been praying for revival for a while. And the God has given us words that we need to preach the revival message. And that we need to be filled with the love of God, immersed in His love. So when the revival comes, we will be full of love to give out to others. When revival comes, crowds will be coming. You need to have love in your physical body and in your spirit to be able to give out this love to all the crowds that are coming in the revival. And pray for the co-workers for the summer conference and invite your friends to come. And Martina's house has 3 people and they are praying for this summer conference. And God revealed to them the passage from Matthew that some people, because of this excuse or that excuse, they can't come. I got married, I just bought a cow, and I need to remodel my house. They have different excuses, they cannot come to the wedding feast. So we need to pray to the Lord that He can bind the spirit and remove the obstacles to people coming to the conference. And God also would go out and invite the people from the byways and highways to come and partake of His wedding feast. There are many people who come, you never thought that they can come. We need to prepare ourselves to serve in this wedding feast. And today I want to preach to you about the old wineskins and the new wineskins in the 5th sermon. And these are all very related. We need to get rid of the old wineskins, then we can put on the new wineskins, that we can contain the fullness of God's love. The Holy Spirit has poured out the love of Christ in us, but we need to get rid of the old wineskins so that the new wineskins can contain the new wine and will not be lost. And the last, my last sermon was given during the Mother's Day, and several weeks later, several youth came to talk to me and said that my mom has changed. My mom has changed a lot, and now her words are very positive. And say with her son, he said that my mom has changed. It's a different person. I'm very happy for them. And the mom go back, and I encourage your moms not to talk to your children picky and nagging the children, and then use words of blessing and positive words to speak to your children. I thank the Lord that the mom has gone back and changed. And when I heard this, I'm very happy. Family by family has been built up and filled with the kingdom, the love of the kingdom of God. And after the last sermon, I went back to Taiwan, and then this time it's my turn to preach again. It's the Father's Day, and the Lord has given me words to speak on this message several weeks ago. So let us open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 12. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, now I consider loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, nor have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul here says that I may know Christ and His power of His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, there is a power that's the greatest power in the universe. That is the Heavenly Father has done on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He may be risen from the dead. This resurrection power, this great power, is in us when we receive Jesus Christ. But it is because of our old wineskins cannot preventing this power from flowing out of us. Paul says that this power, he wants to gain this power. He knows something he needs to put off, and it is those things that he felt like is beneficial to him before, but now he needs to consider them as lost. Our brothers They all want to be heroes. Many brothers, they want to be like the heroes and warriors and great men, but there's a great power, and that is that Jesus Christ's resurrection power. You need to have no hindrance. What are the hindrances? In verse 3 it says, for those who are the circumcision, we worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. That is, this flesh becomes the hindrance to the great power. And it is the flesh that prevents the manifestation of this great power. What is this flesh? So Paul says, he talks about his family background and his religious background, and then his self-control, his education, and then his knowledge, and these become were things that he boasts of before. He says, now he says that to know Christ, I consider them as lost. These are hindrances. They will harm me. I need to boast in Christ Jesus. I have no confidence in the flesh. What does it mean to glory in Christ? That is to receive glory in Christ Jesus. So when I boast, is that I'm glorying in Christ's, Jesus' glory. I have been a true circumcision, is one who worship by the Spirit of God. And glory in Christ Jesus. And He is my joy. And is not doing things by my flesh, that I can boast of those things. Among us there's a brother. He loves the Lord. But when we fellowship with him, every time when we fellowship with him, it seems like we face great mountains. When we discover that everything he has, the love for God, and then we share with him spiritual things, we can't communicate with him. This brother also acknowledged that every time the preacher and the pastor preach about God's love, he doesn't have any feeling. So he started to get anxious and praying to the Lord. Lord, you need to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I'm in my 40s, I'm getting old. You need to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation to truly know you. So he often prayed this way. So this time, he went to Kansas City to go to the conference there. When he was there at the conference, he heard the music and dancing. He said that he was not used to that. And he's saying that, and how I'm going to give an accounting to my wife spending this money, whether it's worth it or not. Until the last day, he said he was standing there, he was closing his eyes. He saw people dancing, and they were dancing this way and that way. All of a sudden, it is discussed that he himself was dancing. And then he heard the Lord saying to him, turn to the right, make a turn around. And he said to the Lord, no, Lord, this is what the women do. And the Lord said, turn around. And he did turn around. And the Lord said that, after he did that, the Lord said, turn back again. He said, so difficult. He said, okay, I obey you. So he turned to the left around. And the Lord said, go back one step. And he went back one step. And immediately the Spirit said to him, stop. Stop. And he said, why do you stop? So he opened his eyes and he saw that someone was kneeling on the floor. And and see how the Holy Spirit in charge of us can be in charge at this point. Because if he was not careful, he took another step, he would be stepping on somebody's fingers. So this is how God controls us and takes charge of us. And the Spirit said that go to another spot, and there's more space there. So he went over there, and the Holy Spirit led him, and he would be turning this way and that way, and he started to spin and turn very fast. He said, "I'm getting dizzy, Lord." And when he came back, he discovered that his hip was healed. Before, his hip was very painful. And then he had a waist hip support because it was very painful. And then he discovered that the original God wants him to turn left and turn right is for the benefit of his hip. When he returned twice, his hip started to get sore. He said to the Lord, "Lord, you already healed me. This is your promise." And when he said this, and the soreness went away. So brothers and sisters, we need to remember, when we go to special meetings or conferences, that the Lord said to us, and the Lord has healed us of certain sickness. When you go back home, and then you the symptoms start coming out again, he said, don't think that, "Oh, I wasn't really healed." It's not possible. Then the sickness will return. Then you need to go to warfare. And he said, "Lord, you already accomplished the work. Lord, I believe you. You have healed me. These symptoms are false. Your healing is real." And then in Jesus' name, I rebuke these symptoms. Then that complete healing is yours. You know, our Lord never changes his mind. Whatever he does, he will not take it back. The words that he speaks, he will not take back. So whatever God has done to you, so thank the Lord and accept it and acknowledge his work in you. So this brother, after he came back, he discovered he was changed. And now we can communicate to him, with him. It's very open. And his prayer has changed, and his worship is prayer. It's full of fire now. And he himself acknowledged, "Now my, it seems like my heart is open now." And he said to the Lord, "Now you have controlled my body. Now you need to control my mouth and my thoughts and the things in my heart and mind. How come this brother has so many obstacles that you cannot communicate with him?" He said to me, "Because we are been trained by engineering and science that in all things, and it has to be accurate, and that we also have to plan for the future. In our company, the requirements is that we be like robots, and have no emotions, never get mad or get happy, and then always do according to your plan and continue doing, and then that there be no change along the way." So when you come to our church, he will say, "Why would the speakers are put in this way? And according to my thinking, the speaker should be put in a different spot." And so he could not get used to this, and cannot used to getting used to that. And his focus is not on God, but on these things. And then he said that no, everything they cannot be exceptions. And the Bible is not this way. God always has exceptions. God said that let there be no, there should not be any king. As the people of Israel said they wanted the king, and God let them have a king. And Paul said that all widows would pray in the temple. Then it is later discovered that the young widows would go out and start gossiping among their friends and families. So Paul says that now that the young widows get married soon, so that they may have children and raise them up. He said that because these young widows, they would gossip and be busybodies, so that it is my that wish that the young widows would get married, so that they would leave no opportunity for the enemy to slander. So So Paul changes. When you're facing the computer and it's this way, but when you face people, people are living, it's different. And there will be changes. So these things, when they encounter the logic and special training of brothers and sisters, and whenever there is a conflict, and then the brothers cannot accept that. They cannot accept the changes. Just like Jonah, he had too much of God, and God wanted to destroy Nineveh, and now God did not Nineveh. So now he said, Lord, I know you are like this, because the people of Nineveh repented, and so God did not destroy, and then he was mad at God. Brothers and sisters, certain works of God, it is not something we can understand. So Isaiah says that the Lord's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the education and special trainings that we have received on earth, they are of the world. The more of this training, these become our bondage, becomes our old wineskins. So that you cannot put on the new wineskins so to contain the new wine. So this brother, when he all of a sudden has this revelation and open, then many things, spiritual things, he start to understand. He still realized that he had many other things he needs to change. And whenever he meets, encounters this conflict, he says to the Lord, Lord, you need to be in charge. Many brothers, if we use our natural thinking, why do we need to dance? Does it mean that if I do not dance, I will not be filled by the Holy Spirit? Why do I need to go up front? Why can't I just sit on my chair? God only fills those who are up front. All this analysis makes sense, but this is according to our thinking and doctrines. But God says, God loves us to sing and dance. In the psalm, he says, it's filled with singing and dancing and praising him. In the Psalm 149, it says, when we dance before him, God will give us his salvation as our decoration. In this last age, I discovered that God wants his people to dance and sing before him. Why? God knows that in the last age, we have much worries, many worries, all kinds of sicknesses, physical sicknesses and mental sicknesses. The burdens are heavy. So God wants to free his children so that his children would be happy. So among us, all the brothers and sisters, if you have a pain in your hip, so come to the harp and bowl and dance in the spirit. I discovered many brothers, they have pain in the hips, and the Lord healed them through their dancing. So good, you don't have to do a massage, or do not have to go to acupuncture. It's free. And God heals you in happiness. It's so good. Such a great way to be healed. This is just, all you have to do is just get rid of your old wineskin. We have a brother. He's in his 50s. Before, he did not come to the harp and bowl. And then when he started to come to the harp and bowl, he discovered he tasted the love of God, and the God led him in dancing. And then the Lord led him to dance in the beautiful dancing. And then every noon that he would come here and fast and dance and sing to the Lord and worship him. And he felt like, and then he said that he's be filled with the love of God. And he would not eat lunch. And he's an engineer. When he go home, he would always be in his room. He would be in his room when he go back home. But now when he go home, he would go to the park. He would walk and exercise and walk 8 rounds the park. And then one round he would pray for his wife. and pray for his father, pray for his son, and pray for the preachers, and pray for the summer conference, and pray for the church building. And the Lord loves us this to worship him this way. So our morning, noon, and evening harp and bowl worship, it's just saying this, that those who are truly circumcised are those who worship the Lord in the Spirit. And it is in Christ Jesus that we boast. And worship is something our natural self cannot understand. Why do we need to do this? But our Lord wants us to dance and sing before him, that we can boast in Christ. He is our joy. Then God will work in our bodies and our spirits. And the work that God does in our bodies is not something you can analyze by logic. Why do you need to dance and sing? Then you are not hungry. He said that when he worshiped, he would eat of the Lord and he would not be hungry. And then if he did not have his full of the Lord, then by 3 o'clock he would be very hungry. When we worship the Lord, we eat and drink of him. But our brother is, our brothers likes to read things of knowledge and how to analyze things. And then we like to hear the sermon so that our minds will be satisfied. But Paul has been trained in the best education this way, but now he considered them as lost. He was trained under Gamaliel, the best teacher. He said that those, he considered them lost. In John, Nicodemus came and talked to Jesus. And Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he's one who knows the scriptures well, a famous Pharisee. But when he came to see Jesus, he said, "Master, I know that you're from God, because without God, with you, you cannot do the miracles." And Jesus did not speak any useless words with him. God, Jesus immediately said to his need, saying that, "I truly say to you, if man is not born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And this word well-educated Pharisee is stuck. "You mean that I have to go back into my mom's womb and be born again? I'm old. How can I go back to my mom's womb?" He did not understand being born again. Brothers and sisters, the earthly teaching will not allow you to understand the spiritual things. Only when the Spirit of God in us that we can understand all things. So Jesus said to him about born again, he did not understand. You would understand that this Samaritan woman and then the tax collectors, when Jesus speak to them, they understand and they understood. Why? Because on the earth they did not have a lot of old wineskins on them. They only know that they are sinners. When Jesus speaks about things of the life and about the spirit, they immediately acknowledge that they are sinners. I need forgiveness. Immediately they encountered the love of God that accepts them. Just like Zacchaeus, he understood God's love right away. But the Pharisees did not understand Jesus' love. So these type of education become their old wineskin. And that these things become their hindrances to knowing God. And it is their loss. In John chapter 4, when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, he said that worshipping the Lord is not whether you worship here or there, but rather that God is a spirit. You need to worship him in spirit and in truth. Unless the person has the Holy Spirit in them, they will not have true worship. The worshipping in spirit and in truth In spirit and in truth, you need to worship and worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we sing, for example, we sing, rejoice often and sing unto the Lord, no matter the circumstances. If you sing, you said, rejoice in the Lord, but you're just using your mouth, but you're not singing it with your heart. So you would, there's no way you can experience the work of the Holy Spirit on you. And we do not know God. But when you dance, when you sing, you first come to the Lord, you are not happy, or something happened in your family, and you come up front and you start singing, and there's no feeling, but you're willing to lift up your spirit to sing this hymn and allow this hymn to sing it aloud, and then as you sing, your spirit will be open, and the Spirit of God will help you to sing more, and the more you sing, the more joy you have, and you start to dance before the Lord, and you would experience the great power of the Holy Spirit. So worship Him in spirit and in truth. God wants us to worship Him this way. This is the new wineskin, and therefore you can contain new wine. I know a brother. This brother, he is a PhD. It's a very smart person. He knows how to calculate. Calculate time, calculate money, calculate whether he needs to give or to take. And he thought to himself, if he was going to be a teacher, then that's giving. But if he were to do research, then he would take. So he rather be a researcher and not be a teacher. So every day he is seeking the great thing. Seeking for the great theory. And then if you do not have, he said to his children, if you don't have no goal in the future, then you would have near worries. And the children, when you come back, come from the upstairs, the second floor, brings the rubbish and garbage down. So where you need to go up, or bring something up so that you don't waste your trip up and down. And yet he said that in many areas of his life, there are blockages and hindrances. He became a Christian later, and he started to practice the inward life. When he started to practice the inward life, many areas in his life become relaxed. And he's not trying to seek the great theory of physics, but rather in many aspects he started to praise the Lord. He knows that, he said that in disciplining his children, he was complete failure. The children had many problems. And then he decided to pursue the Lord and pray and fast for his children. On Wednesday, noon and lunch and dinner, he would pray and fast for his children. And every night they would kneel down and pray for their children. And one by one, God took away his burdens. And then he said that his daughter had bad grades in university and that he was failing in the college. Every day he's watching TV, especially the love stories on TV. And so therefore the grades were terrible. And then when he started to pray and fast for his children, and then the Lord changed her, and she was filled by the Holy Spirit. And it's the whole person is changed around, and then she spends the whole day praying and reading the Bible. And then she would take a long trip to the Moody Seminary to listen to the lessons over there. And his son and the daughter-in-law were in the cult. and it's very difficult to get them out of that. But the couple prayed for their son, and they prayed for their son 5 years. Then one day their son and the daughter-in-law all of a sudden woke up, and they left the cult, and then brought with them a group of people and entered into Christian church. This says that when we love the Lord and you live the inward life, and then before you also we having the breakthrough in physics and give a lot of pressure to the children, now they don't have that pressure anymore. They have a good relationship with their children, and his own parents became Christians, and the son-in-law and daughter-in-law became Christians. So we use our natural power, especially brothers. The natural person has a lot of power. That is the flesh. Paul says, we do not depend on the flesh. The one who is truly circumcised does not depend on the flesh. And I do not depend on my training, my knowledge, my wisdom, my education, my family background. These are no longer our boast, but rather worship Lord in the Spirit. Then you will know the resurrection power of Jesus. This time I went to Kansas City to Mike Bickle's conference. I seen some parents who truly raised their children according to the Word of God. Let us turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This King of Kings, when he comes to this earth, he chose his disciples, 12 of them. He chose all of them that did not have education. So is education important? No, it's not important. It may not be good either. Why? I went back to Taiwan this time. I know three sisters. All three of them were sisters, and they all married PhDs. And when they got together, they said that these PhDs, they only know their own subject. They do not know anything else. This is what a PhD is. And many wives are nodding their heads. Why? Because the PhDs, they are all specialized. Oh, they are only specializing in spiders. And then the PhD in bees, that's all only talking about bees. But there are many things of dealing with people, knowing the feelings of people, knowing the emotions of people, knowing their responses. They are ignorant of them. Why? They are spending so much time specializing. You see, when Jesus came on the world, and he chose the people that are unschooled. When I was in Kansas City, I saw, I thank the Lord that this time when we have invited four youth speakers, and there's a couple and then and two brothers. There'll be four speakers in the youth for the summer conference. This time we went to Kansas City and we had the fellowship with them. They are truly good speakers. There was one brother, his name is Marcus. When he was 14 years old, he deeply loved the Lord Jesus. He lived in Texas. And in the high school, he went to Mike Bickle's to intern, be an intern over there. And after he graduated from high school, he became a full-time service in Mike Bickle's IHOP. And he plays the guitar. So this time we went there, we got there a day earlier. And after we fellowshiped with him, he took us back to our hotel rooms. And he said that I'll leave you my phone number, so if you need rides or need to buy things from the grocery shop, give me a call. And we said that we don't need to inconvenience you. He said it's okay. I know that those people who are traveling, you know how inconvenient they are. If you need to find me, it's okay. I'm very willing to help you. Originally, we did not need to need him, but later on, we really need a ride. And there's someone who could not, a person who was arranged to take us there, could not take us. And then when we called him, he had his car is broken down. So he drove his wife's car to take us. And the car, I was sitting up front, and the windows cannot be rolled down, and there's no air conditioning, it's very hot. He said he's very sorry, only on the left-hand side can I roll down the windows. So we had some fellowship with him. He has two sisters, they are also serving the Lord. One of them is married to a pastor, and the other sister is a lay person who is serving the Lord in the church. And he said our parents loved us very much, gave us a lot of love. But our parents did not spoil us materialistically. When they go to Mike Bickle's to become a full-time preachers, no one supports them. You need to seek the Lord. God, Mike Bickle only provides them a house to live. But your living expenses, you need to find, seek the Lord for support and to find people to support them. He graduated when he was 18 years old and he went to Mike Bickle full time. And he was 19 years old, he is married. Now he's 21. And God gave him a very very wonderful wife. She is lovely and she is beautiful and serves the Lord. And she knows how to sing very well. I see his service, the Lord, ministering the Lord, and all he does is playing the guitar. And that day he gave us a ride at night. He had to minister that night, and it was very close to the meeting. And he said that you're very welcome. You're so welcome. When we thanked him, and it's like an angel serving us. He's serving us from the love of his heart. And there'll be another youth speaker. His name is Aaron. He's 25 years old. He and his wife will be coming to a summer conference. When he was serving the Lord there, he's responsible for the youth over there. And he's responsible for the youth work in Kansas City. And they're very gentle and very well-mannered and truly can see the fragrance of Christ on them. Aaron's also married. He said, and I said that is so, this is really, it must be really special that you guys do not go to the world to make money in the world and that you're serving the Lord here. But he said, yes, we too want to make money. We want to make more money to offer up to IHOP because they need a lot of money. He said that this is my house. We calculated, we bought it, and it's quite reasonable because if we were to rent, it costs so much. And the houses here were kind of fairly inexpensive here. So now I rent out my cellar, I rent out the rooms, and there are two rooms for those who are visiting us. And then with this, then it's enough to, from this rent, that is enough to pay off the mortgage. And these young people, they're so precious. The parents do not emphasize the education and the degrees. I see Mike Bickle himself, 20 years old, he was already a pastor. So the Bible, the book that he wrote said that when he was 27 years old, he was already being a pastor for 7 years and leading a 500-member church. And what my bigger ones for full-time service are those who are 18 to 25 years old. The 28-year-old testifying on the podium saying that they are already kind of old. Our brother Hai Hong, he went to the brother He Yongren in meeting. He said that full-time service, he wants only those who are 28 years old and younger. And then he said that I'm disqualified. And my biko came to our conference to call up full-time service. He said 30 years old, only those are younger than 30 years old are qualified. And this time went to Kansas City, you need to be 25 or younger. Why does he want the younger one? Once. Why? Because they can pray through the night. They are healthy. One person can do many things, can do the work of many people, and they will not get tired. And there can be bright rooms. And we discovered that these people who serve the Lord really have this vision. And they feel like they are old when they are 28 years old. They want the young people. And they've truly gotten so many young people. And my Biko became a pastor 20 years old. He did not go to university. And another person, he studied 1 year of college. And then the fire is burning in him. Enter into the kingdom of God. I saw another pastor be used by God. And then he became a pastor when he was 21 years old. Then did not go to college. See, us Chinese, we're so different. We have this, we need to, nothing else is more important than education. And then the villages in Taiwan, the parents will wash their clothes, you know, dollar by dollar, the accumulator, so they can send their kids out overseas. And when the children graduate from university, they despise their parents. So they're embarrassed about their parents. And the old direction of the Chinese is to study, study, study. And the King of Kings did not choose those who are educated. We really need to have a vision of the new wineskins. Spend so much time and effort for them to study. The Chinese come to United States to study. They are 30 or 40 years old, they are still not married. Why? They've been studying. Studied until in the 30s. Then they started to work and make money. And they only have some money so that they can have a family. And then it's difficult to chase after girlfriends. They don't have enough energy to do that anymore. Then many times, what is the direction that we are developing our children to do? If we have the heavenly concepts, it will be different. Let us see a passage of Bible. It's in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Verse 18 to 23. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 23. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he... I will read 24 to 27. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." We see this young ruler. He is a very lovely young man. But what is his hindrance? Richness. Yes, money. What did Jesus require of him? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then you have treasures in heaven, and follow me. If he follows Jesus, would Jesus cause him to starve? To follow the King of Kings, he would never be laid off. And that you would not lose your job. And then if you follow the right person, you'll be truly blessed. You follow the King of Kings, you'll be right. And God himself called him. And he thought that God was giving him a hard time. Why? Because he considered this richness to be something that he can depend on. It is a security blanket. But I did not know that this money is a bondage in the spirit. They are a stumbling block to his spirit. We need to see this. And Jesus said, as a result, said that it is how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And another gospel says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Why? Because he's a lovely, because he's followed all the commandments. Such a good young man. But because money was his hindrance. And Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So, those who are fathers among us, we need to understand this verse. So, when the child is choosing, when they are choosing the career, do you want them to choose a career that they can make a lot of money? Or learn the double E so that they can make a lot of money? But your daughter hates engineering. Or become a doctor so they can make a lot of money. But your daughter sees blood, they would faint. But you just want them to become a doctor. You must develop them to become a doctor. Teach them to be music so that they can become music teachers. So all this become pressure for our children. Do you want them to become a rich person? And in the future, you yourself is in heaven. You cannot pull them up because they are too rich. Brothers and sisters, we truly need to know, when we raise our children, what are we raising them up to be? In Kansas City, I saw Gary Wynn. He wrote a book, has been translated to Chinese. It is The Prayer of the Bride. Gary Wynn, this person, he said to his son, his son is David. When he was young, he said to his son, you need to find out God's will for your life. When the child is young, he told the child, you need to find out what God's will for your life is. And then his child loves music. So the child, when he was young, served the Lord with his music. And we are parents, we need to help the child to develop and complete God's will in their lives. So he teached his son to be like this. And we see his son was playing very good guitar. And other people interview him. Can you say something? And he said something. He said one. And he counseled those who are musicians who serve the Lord. He said that we... We who are musicians always feel like we are always right because we are musicians. But there is one thing we need to remember. We need to submit to authority. So this child is very humble, is very gentle, and very obedient. But he can serve the Lord so well. Also, I saw another person called Mark. He has four children. And Mark, on the podium, he said, when I was young, my father said to me, wherever there is revival, we'll be moving there. So he followed his father to the place of revival. So therefore, I know that Kansas City, God is there working. So he brought his wife and children to Kansas City. So they moved there. And he raised his four children. There's 13, 15, 19, and 21 year old. Four children, and they are serving the Lord. They are ministering there full time. They are truly living according to the Word of God. The education of the children is not important. Not just want them to teach so that they can go to Harvard or they can get into Berkeley. No. Or ask them to learn this and that. And their desire is that the God's will may be accomplished in their children. And we, on the other side, we look at us Chinese. We do not move to the place of revival. We only go to the place where the school districts are good. And which place has good for our children's career, we move there. Many people buy houses in those areas which is beneficial to the children's education. But those who have the vision, heavenly vision, they are different. So you see the children, they are no harm and no hurt. They're very happy. They're serving the Lord there. You see the young people, they're not like in this world that we need to buy such and such a house. I need to make such much money. They're only thinking about how to serve the Lord. And then the broken old car is okay. And they're full of joy. They're like angels. I just thought us Chinese, and we are spending our effort and energy and work hard so that our children would study and study to learn this and learn that, and then bring our happiness to our children, and we destroy their interests. Many interests. You do not know what that they're suitable for, and you think that this is good for them, and they lose interest. Just like when we were studying in Taiwan, we are studying for the sake of the exams. So I hate the geography, I hate the history. Why? It's not for the sake of interest. Only for taking an exam that we study. After I became a Christian, and we heard Pastor Chow talk about the history of the church, and I discovered that the history is very interesting. When you hear Pastor Chow talking about the geography of the Bible, and its geography is very interesting. Why? Because it's no longer for the sake of taking an exam. These are very interesting things. Stay with us who are parents. We need to know what is the important things. You want your children to seek the elementary education of the world? The Bible says that it's the knowledge of the world is the elementary school of the world. You need to spend tens of years to be filled with that knowledge. And then for the sake of entering the kingdom of heaven, you need to slough off these. And it's very hard to get rid of this. So wasteful. And then in seeking, pursuing the elementary school of the world bring a lot of harm. Harm between parents and children. And the children want to graduate from high school and then leave home. I must apply to a school that is so far away that my parents cannot take the car to go over there, to get away from your control. Why? Because we do not have the vision of the kingdom of God. We do not see it. What do we give to our children? What do we want to give our children? Today, my burden is that among us, all the parents, God has truly has chosen the brothers to be leaders. So all among us, if you have sons, you must remember, you must pay attention what God wants them to develop in their life. What are their talents that God has given them? Do not oppress them. Or just sit there, quiet and silent, still. Be silent. Don't speak. Don't ask so many questions. Don't have so much opinions. These who are born to be leaders, God has God gave them a lot of creativity. Many years ago, I saw a report that a child, when he was young, when he was 4 years old, every time when he ate, he would put his chopsticks in the glass cup. And they would look and observe this. And then the father noticed that this father saying that he has a genius for math and physics. And then later become a genius. And then I said to my father, if a genius is born in our family, it's useless. If we put the chopsticks in the glass, my father would say that, what are you doing? Our natural person. There are so many of our rules and regulations. And what we've been taught from the previous generation, we want to use them to oppress the next generation. God wants us to use His words, use His eyesight to see our children. I discovered the brothers, a family's head, the spiritual head of the family, if they rise up to pray, then you'll be a great thing will happen. A brother willing to enter into the inner chamber to seek the Lord, and then quiet his heart to pray, enter into the inner room to pray, and then his family's umbrella, the covering umbrella is open, and then the brother's prayer is more effective than the wife. And then the staff holding up the umbrella that protects his family is the brother. When he lifts his hand to praise the Lord, then the whole family will be blessed. And then the wife would be started to pursue the Lord. And then the wife and the child would also started to pursue the Lord and would not be always causing problems in the family. We have a sister. She said to me that she respects her husband. Her husband, he would wait upon the Lord every morning 2 hours. And then we pray for the church and pray for the small house group members and pray for his wife and pray for his child and children. And the wife felt that she was blessed because she and the child be protected by the covering of the prayers of her husband and father. And that before he would belittle and despise her husband because he doesn't know how to fix this and that. So I would encourage brothers among us, if you become the spiritual head and pray and bless, then you discover that you will win the love of your wife and her respect. When a brother rises up to pray, there'll be a great change. It's very different. I know many sisters who pray, who love the Lord. When the husband rises up to pray, it's much better than buying clothes and flowers for them, because they feel they're protected and they're spiritually covered. We have a brother among us. Before, he did not like to pray. Later, and there's some difficulties at home, and he started to pray. Starting as January, he had heartburn, and he had infection in his stomach, and then the acid in his stomach would go backwards, and then it would swell up his esophagus, and then it would narrow up the esophagus, and it's very difficult for him to swallow. And he lost weight by several over 10 pounds, and when he ate his food, it's very painful in the stomach, and the doctors prescribed medicine. And January went to see the doctor, and the family doctor referred him to a specialist, and only until March that he can have this appointment with the specialist. And then later on, the specialist gave him medicine, and his stomach became more painful, cannot take the medicine. Later he came to our Hopin Bowl worship. He said that he came here at noontime, he came as much as he can, and in the evening he also come as much as he can. In the presence of the Lord, he worshiped the Lord, and he, the whole person relaxes. And just like this, many times he came to the Hopin Bowl. Until April, he was completely healed. Completely healed. So brothers and sisters, this is the grace, the great grace that God has given us. He wants us to experience His resurrection power. And it is through the worshipping the Lord in the Spirit, so we can put off this old wineskin, no longer depending on the flesh, or accepting and be proud of the training that we have gotten, but rather we boast in the Lord. Lastly, I want to encourage you, whether you have this book, this is the calling, and then the God in evening tide. If not, you can go and buy this book. There are two books in one book. Every morning you can read one passage, and in the evening you can read another passage. I have read this for over 20 years, and I'm never tired of it. This is written by two sisters as they wait upon the Lord. And then the Lord gave them words, and these are the words that they have recorded down. If you go read this book, it would renew a lot of your thinking. And the one passage says, God says, and today is not for the flesh, but rather for your spirit. Many people chose the lifestyle that's suitable to their flesh, not suitable to their spirit. And I only allow people to the method of the spirit. If you accept this method, then you would have a great work done on you. If you reject it, then my plan would be broken. And then the best prayer that you have would not receive answers. And then you can only accumulate bitterness and suffering. Here he says that what God wants us to choose is that to live the lifestyle of the spirit and heart. And that is to use the spirit to worship Him. And worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that the God Himself can do His work on us. today is Father's Day 2002, that the Lord may, it's my desire that we can get rid of the old wineskin, that we can enter into the worship of the Spirit. Then God will give us the bountifulness of the Spirit to be poured it upon us. And the way of the Lord, what the Lord so honors, that we may use that to teach our children. What man honors is the rags before God. So we really need to turn upside down our worldly value system to see what really God feels is what God says is our value system. We truly may change us. I do not know, brothers and sisters among us, maybe your child is a high school graduate that you feel embarrassed about them, that this child does not know how to study, and so you're suffering and in bitterness. Today I want to tell you good news. God will give your child a much better way, not in terms of education. What God chosen are those who are not educated, just like his disciples. Yes, in the history of the church, God chose many who are educated, but those education may not be useful to their preaching. Many are revealed and opened up in the Holy Spirit, that they become blessings to others. That today, on this Father's Day, we can renew our thoughts and concepts and our perspectives to know exactly what is precious, that we may walk on this way of blessing and lead our children to walk in this way of joy and blessing. Let us sing this hymn, Knowing Jesus, that we may no longer depend on ourselves, but depend on the Lord. Let us rise and sing.